So as we come to the end of the story for today, and Jesus' burial at the hands of a righteous man called Joseph, these few short sentences are packed with theological significance as we attend to righteousness and to the law and to the Sabbath and how they play into this story. See, righteousness is often thought of as a state of moral rectitude or ethical conduct, but is really so much more than that. Righteousness is first and foremost an attribute of God, and it implies much more than right action. It's more like right being. I translate it for myself as right relationship, or that state of being when all is right with us and the world, right with God, right with others, right with the whole of creation. So when Joseph is declared righteous, it was because he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom or the reign or the rulership of God. Sometimes in our compromised world, marked and scarred by the kind of sin and brokenness that brought about Jesus' death on a cross, sometimes righteousness can be marked as rightly ordered desire. We strive for righteousness in relationship with Jesus, and in and by God's grace, we might be accounted righteous enough to taste the first fruits of the gospel promise, a measure of freedom from anxiety, deep joy, peace marked by justice. In the days of our story, Joseph, of course, would have seen and understood righteousness as observing the commandments of the Torah. And as a member of the council, he would have known that it says in the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy, when someone is convicted of a crime punishable by death and is executed, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse must not remain all night upon the tree. You shall bury him that same day, for anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse. You must not defile the land that the Lord your God is giving you for your possession. This curse from dying on a tree became important for the theology of the early church. Luke tells us twice in the book of Acts, once in chapter 5, that the God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And again in chapter 10, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. And St. Paul picks this up in one of his most theologically dense letters when he writes to the Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Joseph was a righteous observer of the law who hungered and thirsted for the reign of God. He made sure the law was observed by taking down Jesus' body from the cross, wrapping it in a linen cloth reminiscent of the swaddling cloth with which he was wrapped at his birth, and laying it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. He not only obeyed the commandment, he also showed Jesus great respect, saving his body from being tossed in a pauper's grave. The curse of the tree, especially as expressed by St. Paul, has led many to think of Jesus as a substitute in some way for our own punishment, as Emily was saying just minutes ago. And while I believe there are ways of understanding this death as substitutionary, it is precisely and only as an inversion of that all too human tendency to sacralize violence by saying that somehow this bloodshed was redemptive, that Jesus took the punishment for us, divine child abuse. In fact, he inverted the process, if you think about it. It's quite the opposite. He placed himself in the story as a human substituting for an animal, the Lamb of God, thus showing for all time that everything that is going on here is the banality of murder as a means of addressing human anxiety. he reveals this shameful death for what it is. Not the shame of the one who hangs on the tree, but the shame of all those tendencies in us that want to make meaning out of sheer, utter banality. And we finish with the observation of the Sabbath. No less a Christian than G.K. Chesterton saw the Sabbath, this Sabbath, as the last Sabbath of the old creation, reflecting the day God rested after the work of creation. At this point, we do not know there will be a Sabbath to come, a new creation. All we know is that as people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, is that Jesus went to his death, trusting in God, even through the horror of the degradation of human violence at the hand of human power. This was the final act of a life of absolute integrity, a fully integrated human who kept faith with the source of his life, even unto death. What are we left with today? Well, we're left with honoring the dead, continuing to practice the faith even if we doubt, and even in the face of the banality and meaninglessness of this death, we are left to remember God's power of creation and its Sabbath rest as we continue to wait expectantly for the Basileo to Theo, the reign of God made manifest. Our waiting is marked for now by the silence of the tomb. Let us pray.